Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Noun, death, destruction, or some other terrible fate. Verb, condemned to certain destruction or death, or caused to have an unfortunate and inescapable outcome. It comes from the Old English meaning statute, judgment. But it is Germanic in origin, from a base meaning to put in place. It is doom. And ultimately, we are all doomed right here in the doom room. See, it was right in the name and everything. It was rhyming doom with doom. I'm Alex.
I'm sobbing. Boom, boom. I'm crying.
I'm Pete. I can't believe you just tried to rhyme doom with doom.
It's the last episode, baby.
You just gave up. You just said, hey, listen.
I can't believe you did it and you crushed it.
Nope.
Kicked it right over the goal line.
No, you didn't.
Got a hole in one.
You closed the loop.
Closed the loop. There you go.
Because you had the time. You had the time to do it. Mm-hmm. You could end the episode on your terms.
I'm finally separating from this podcast and going my own direction because you guys have been holding me back, man.
Oh, wow. Good luck.
Oh, no. Am I dead? I'm the dead.
Do we get to set you on fire now?
Absolutely. Please, and pop my blob. We're going to be talking about Doom Patrol's final episode, the final episode of the show ever, season 4, episode 12, Doom Patrol. We have been speculating all season long as to whether they got to do a fitting ending or if this was going to feel like the end of season 4. Spoilers on here if you haven't seen it. This is 100% a series finale of Doom Patrol. They wrap up absolutely everything. As Pete said,
A lot of open questions out there.
I mean, I guess. You know, there's always room
for more
because it's superhero stories, but this is as definitive an ending as you're going to get for anything in the superhero realm. I'm not going to talk through very briefly, and this is like the briefest of all possible recaps, after not actually finishing up the Isabel Feathers Bet storyline where those two opposing forces team up to become musical theater powerhouse and the Doom Patrol essentially does nothing, which they cop to. They realize they need to separate after Rita dies, and that's what they do. Everybody heads in their own directions. Several characters die. Several characters enter new states of being. And we end on a very poignant montage with Cliff. Yes,
I feel so dumb for not knowing. I mean, there were so many Teen Titan issues where Cyborg was a TA. And we should have known that was coming.
Originally the book, and comic book fans know this, it was originally called Teen Titans.
Wow. Wow.
Boom. Boom, boom.
Boom.
You're in the doom room.
There you go. Wow. Booyah. Before we get into specifics, and I'm sure we're going to get into a lot of specifics here, I am curious to hear from you guys. How did you feel about this as an episode? How did you feel about this as a conclusion for the show? Pete, I was particularly curious about you because I was worried about your emotions while I was watching this.
Yeah.
Did you feel them?
I laughed. I cried. I definitely, it was surprising the part that got me, maybe not to you guys, but I was like, oh man, this, all these sad endings. I wonder which one's going to break me. And of course it was Cliff in the car.
That is absolutely not surprising. Why do you think that's surprising?
I was surprised by it. I was like, this is where you're crying.
That is the most obvious thing that's happened.
The car perspective of his life moving forward. Oh my God, it got me so good.
How did you die? Like,
what part of Titanic did you cry at? The part where he's at the front of the ship shouting how happy he is, or the end where the ship sink? Which part? Which part made you cry? I guess I'm asking.
Yeah. I guess my big question is, you were surprised that Cliff, your favorite character of the show, dying in a car, your favorite thing on the show, was the thing that got you?
No, I was just, as the sad endings were happening, I was like, oh man, I'm not crying. Look at me, I'm fucking made of steel. Nothing can get to me now. And then
Cliff
dies, and I was a
you
mess.
Psycho. You're Cliff. You're like, I'm mess. Made of metal. I don't, nothing bothers me. I'm cool. And then your eyes went away at the end.
Yeah.
Full of tears.
Yeah, the lights in my eyes went out as I watered up.
I wasn't as surprised as Pete, I guess, but I was surprised how affecting the end was, mm-hmm. and the way they went to Cliff as the final moment and the final sort of character here, and gave him this almost poignant short film about, you know, parenthood and time that I was really affected by it. I didn't cry, but I had like chills. Mm-hmm. I was really, it was very good. And
were you like, I got to fix up my Subaru, make sure it's going to last for generations, you know?
Yeah, I guess given the spectrum of all the emotions that I was feeling and Cliff was feeling, and then the one thing about a car, definitely felt the car.
Yeah, you were like, oh man, I got to get my Subs and Jack.
Yeah, because otherwise, what is it? What are my children going to have all these experiences in?
Exactly. I love that sequence. Like you, Justin, I was very curious, given that everybody was separating, how we were going to end it, what the last shot was going to be. And I think they crushed that. Like, maybe what you're responding to, Pete, is I was surprised they end with Cliff, but I think that's kind of where things started, right? So that's how you're going to come full circle in a way. It started in terms of the show, not in terms of the continuity of the show. So of course you have to end with him, and of course you have to end with the last shot. And I thought the last line, "It's okay, I made it home," that's the one that got me like a little choked up.
It's really good.
There. And also, just while we're talking about that montage at the end, I loved that they didn't shy away from the bad parts, you know?
Agree. I loved that.
It was also a weird back-to-back watch. This is a spoiler for another show. I know you guys don't watch Rick and Morty, but they did basically the same thing at the end of Rick and Morty this week as well, where they had a montage of an entire person's life and didn't shy away from the bad parts. And it was very affecting in a very similar way, even though the end result where Rick and Morty went to the end versus where Doom Patrol went to the end were very different. But it's a very effective technique. You know, it goes back... probably goes back farther than this, but I always think of it as like the genesis is the beginning of Up, those first 5 minutes where you're like, oh my God, why am I crying at the first 5 minutes of Up as you go through this entire person's life? But it works very well.
I'm sorry, but now you're the Pete, because that is obviously not where that began. And it's just an emotional montage is the thing you're saying.
Started
it's
with
the same.
Up was the first movie, right?
The idea of saying that a Pixar movie like really innovated in that way is very funny. I was going to say it reminded me of the Star Trek Next Generation episode where we see Jean-Luc Picard live a life. After he plays a flute.
He just out nerded you, Zelbatron. How you feel?
Oh yeah, no, I do. Yes. All right.
Yeah.
Woo! So overall, TKO. I thought this episode was great. I thought this was a great conclusion to the show. Really loved where everybody ended up, which I'm sure we'll talk about individually. But I did want to throw out one criticism/question to you guys that I wanted to get your feedback on.
I'll take the question.
Great. I agree with Larry's conclusion here. I understand why they put it out, but Larry being like, hey, we've ultimately been pretty bad for each other and made the world worse as we've been together. We've caused all the problems and they caused subsequent problems. We got to separate in order to make things better and find ourselves. I don't know if that's been the core ethos of the show the entire time. Like,
that's true, but it is very kind of like, you know, you have to work on yourself to kind of be able to fit into a bigger picture thing. You know, if you're broken, you can't help as well as you could if you weren't, type of philosophy. But I do agree with what you're saying. Like, I was upset that the choice that they made at Doom Patrol was like, well, the show's ending, we should break up as a superhero team. I was like, what?
Well, we're breaking up at the end of this podcast.
Oh,
wow. At the end of this podcast.
Yeah, this is the last one, so.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that was
I'm going to go kiss my girlfriend in space. That's my plan. What are you guys doing?
Die in a car, like Pete said.
Yeah.
Pete said I should die in a car. So I'm going to do it.
Nice.
What I was going to say is I agree with you. I thought that message was a little harsh and strangely took on Larry's POV, his like sort of bummer POV, which is something the whole series was about them pushing against and saying like, Larry, you're good. You don't have to think things like that. But I do agree with the underlying philosophy that being on Doom Patrol was sort of treading water for all of them. And it was standing in the way of them getting better. And they were distracting themselves with all these like very great missions and intense things. But they were, at the end of the day, really ginning them up. And they were causing problems for themselves, maybe as a subconscious means of distracting themselves from actually making their lives better.
Are you saying we're holding you back, Justin? Is that what you're saying? That this whole time you could have been doing better things? But
yeah, my friend Derek made a tiny robot, and I want to go start a school about it or whatever.
Okay.
I love that part where the kids were like, why are you here?
Yeah, like, why me too. I was like, yes, kid, you're speaking for all of us.
Well, regardless, Cyborg is happy. That's cool. The other thing that I think like didn't quite gel, which I understood, is the idea
robot
of
tattoos.
Robot tattoos. Yeah, I don't know about that. But the thing that I didn't quite get is like Rita saying, listen, we have big journeys ahead of all of us. We're going to grow and change. And I understand they're wrapping up the show in an hour, so they can't be like, here's all of that. But a lot of those journeys were very short. Like a lot of those journeys and you leave Doom Matter and they're immediately done.
And I would argue none of them really changed. They all just went and did the thing that everyone knew they had to do.
Yes. Well, let's
like,
talk.
Of course, Larry was going to get back together with his
lead. Well, I don't know if you saw Kay and Stacy or Casey going to space to raise the cat together. You didn't have that on your bingo card.
I did, actually. Yeah, that was the center square. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, that's prime real estate on the bingo card. You got to commit to that.
That's
before we talk about the endings, I know we're jumping right to this, but I do want to jump right to the beginning, just because we do have the wrap up of both the Butts and the Isabel Feathers storyline, which I thought was very fun and perfectly Doom Patrol. You know, I know we were just talking about it before, but the idea, it never occurred to me at any point that the Butts were obsessed with musical theater and Isabel Feathers is obsessed with musical theater. So, of course, they're going to bond over that. And the shot
all she needs is Butts in the seats and she's living her best life. You know what I mean?
That's great, Pete.
Crushed it.
That's great.
Crushed it. Good stuff. Great line. Shot of I love the team like actually stepping up and being a superhero team for once. I thought that was very fun. Jane using all of her kaleidoscope powers,
so cool.
Nick flaming sword, Cliff picking up the seats and immediately falling over because he freezes was a great punctuation
so
to that
funny.
And then ultimately them being like trying to sing along with this musical number and backing out of the theater, just a fun, perfectly Doom Patrol punctuation to that whole sequence.
Yeah, and even Madame Rouge running up being like, yeah, reinforcements is here. I really thought that, like, the way that was all shot also looked like kind of like, because they're in a black box theater, it had this kind of theater quality to the effects and stuff, which I thought really was fun and worked really well for the show in this kind of campy theater type way. I thought they leaned into it in the perfect, where he like jumps, when Cyborg jumps with the flaming sword and then just kind of gets bounced away. I really thought the effects on that were really fun.
It was. It did look good. And I also think it was a nice microcosm of the series where they're like, all right, let's do this. And they all, like, Madame Rouge runs away. Jane is too powerful for a second and doesn't know what to do. Cyborg does a superhero pose and then gets wrecked. Like, it was them being bad. And then it was them running away and being like, back to status quo. Let's have a party at the manor. And then we get the transition of the big change of Rita dying. And so that breaks the model and the routine, and then they spin off.
Well, I would argue the thing that breaks the routine is the fact that they all have breakfast but are civil about it and like being with each other. Like, to me, that is the big change in the series, because every single family meal they've had before, which was really dug down pretty hard, I think it was the last episode by Rita, is she just wants to get through one meal where, like, they're civil with each other and they have a nice time and enjoy each other's company. And that's ultimately what they get towards, is this idea that they don't hate each other. They don't want to get away from each other, which is something that's happened for four seasons. They are ultimately family, and families fight and they get annoyed at each other, but they like each other's company and love each other at the same time. And that's what I got from this meal, down to like Larry going through his rote typical "we didn't do anything" stuff and everybody being kind of okay with it. And then you get this lovely moment, which I also, I felt very stupid for not picking up on, but they ask Jane about her name, and she's like, "I don't know, I've been hearing this word kaleidoscope," and they say, "That's kind of a complicated name, why don't we just call you Kay?" And I was like, of course.
Great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also thought that was great. A bit presumptuous of Cyborg to be like, "Is this going to be emotionally affecting for you to call you Kay, the name that has been a constant?" And he's just like, "How about Kay?" I was like, "Well, cool it a little bit, dude." But yes, that's very poignant and cool.
Yeah, I thought it was nice, because it was kind of Rita's last wish, you know, in the prior episode, where she just wanted to have a meal with everybody and have a nice time. And so, yeah, I was a little weirded out by the fact that Rita is kind of clearly slowly dying in front of everybody. And they were like, "All right, Rita, wheel away. We'll see you soon." I was like, "That was...
Yeah, you're not coming back downstairs." Like, the second she was like, "Well, gonna go upstairs to put on my costume," I was like, "Goodbye, Rita." Goodbye.
Yeah.
Bye.
Well, I have a big important question before we get there. Now, when you're making pancakes like that,
right?
I think it was really upsetting the way that Larry waited to cook all of them and then put them out, because the bottom ones are going to be cold.
Mm.
And that's just another example of Larry blowing it big time.
Wow.
That's why he had to go into space and become a sun, is so he could keep all the pancakes evenly heated.
Yeah, that's smart.
That's right. That's the dream.
I think I love your attention to detail there, JT says. You can tell a man who slings cakes, and you're right. You can't
have cakes.
You can't have those sitting around, man. You know, while there are hungry people sitting out there being like, "Yo, I don't want to wait for the big pile reveal. Get me some fucking cakes, bro."
Exactly. Who goes first? You roll them out one at a time, and everyone talks a little bit, and they go and do their business, like dying upstairs.
Right, exactly.
Maybe that's why Rita died. She was like, "I can't take these cold pancakes anymore. Just kill me already."
Yeah. That's what she said.
Euthanasia. I'm going to check myself into the hospital and be like, "Hey, I had some cold pancakes this morning. Can you kill me?"
Oh, my God, dude. Jesus Christ.
And hospitals around the country are like, "No problem, sir. Please."
I would.
"Hey, no problem. Cattle. We got you, buddy."
The cattle head popper from
No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
100%. They have that in every hospital. Going room to room.
Yeah, they keep one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did like Rita's speech with Madame Rouge when she initially runs away. And we, the audience, who is kind of Cliff being like, "Hey, where are you going?" The fact that they kind of do get a nice moment together before she dies horribly in her bed. I think
dies peacefully.
I mean, that color she turned into, it didn't look like she, you know what I mean? It seemed like,
well, she's goo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And also, right, I think they said, "Pete, death ain't pretty. Think of the colors that you're going to turn you die."
Yeah, one thing they didn't bring up is she probably shat herself right at the end there. So they didn't mention that either, but it definitely
happened. Can't wait for that. That's the real release of death.
Oh, my God.
No consequences shit in the bed?
I was trying to talk about nice Rita things, and you guys...
No consequences.
There's always consequences to shit in the bed, man.
Doesn't matter, you're dying. Dead. You're dead.
Someone's still got to clean that up, man.
Yeah,
but you don't have to. It's no consequences for you.
Do you think your last words are going to be "no consequences" right before you shit yourself?
I'm going to try hard to not have it be that, but I can't
promise. Do you know what I'm going to do as a death
present? I'm going to whisper "no consequences."
As a death present for you, I'm going to make you
"no consequences."
It says "no consequences" in the style of the No Fear t-shirts.
Oh, whoa. Sick. So I can just point at it when I'm dying.
You don't have to say anything. You can't talk.
Yeah.
"Hey, grandson," points at shirt. What do you mean, Dad, Granddad? Oh God.
You're in your car, no. So you better not shit in your car.
Legally, he pointed at the shirt. There's no consequences. I agree with you.
I'm going to be, Pete, just to be clear, I'm going to be in the car, in the bed.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes sense. Race car bed. That's a classy move, bro.
Actual race car bed that works as a race car as well. Vroom. I agree with you on the Rita Laura scene. That relationship has been great. What a wonderful thing that they discovered over the past couple of seasons. Those two actresses are so good together. And I also love the surprise that Rita comes back as Ghost Rita. Another thing that makes total sense.
Sex Ghost Rita. Let's not.
Yeah, Sex Ghost Rita. Very fun. Before that, though, we get everybody eating Isabel's toenails, which they don't hesitate to do at all. Also very fun. The reveal that Isabel and the Butts for the past 1,000 years have become Broadway superstars. Great wrap up there.
Yeah.
But the whole Rita sequence I thought was perfectly Doom Patrol. I thought her speech was lovely to the team. I love the funeral where they're bringing her gifts, where she's like, please don't remember me that way.
That was like, so funny. I thought that was a great scene because it was perfectly Doom Patrol, where it was like them all fucking something up in ways where you're like, surely they're not. Oh, they also did the worst thing, which was great. And then her acknowledging it, something poignant and beautiful with Ave Maria from Kay.
Yeah.
And then popping the Rita balloon and it's stinking so bad. Oh, man. That's great.
Classic Doom Patrol.
I was very surprised and pleasantly surprised that they brought back Rita after that. But if Rita's last line was, it's fine, it's totally fine, I wrote that down as like, that's Doom Patrol. Like, that's what they are constantly aiming for is not catharsis. It's not ultimate salvation or anything like that. It's just like, let's get to a place where we're fine. Like, where things are just not horrible or anything in that realm. Let's just get to okay.
Well, and I also really like that because I agree that was great. And it was a great like counterpoint if you think about that versus the end with Cliff, where Cliff got to take in the expansiveness of life, all the good things and bad things, and really see it all before he left. And Rita was like, ugh, okay, it's fine. Like, she's just in the moment was like, this is all fine. Who cares? Like, it was a great sort of two takes on death. I just want to shout out, you get all the sex go sex you want for the, I think that was Cliff's line about Rita as she was dying. And we got to pull Rita out of Satan's ass crack. Great Cliff living.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed. No one else wanted to save Rita, but, yeah, I mean,
well, they all did except for Rita.
Right. And they respected her wishes, which I liked. I liked knowing that that is part of the world, that you could go to hell and get the person back, or purgatory or whatever it was.
Satan's ass crack.
And ultimately deciding not to do that. Again, a very Doom Patrol thing to do. There's a great line. I think this is right after the funeral where Cliff talks to Kay about her powers. I think that's when they're in the car and she's like, she's decided maybe she just wants to get an apartment and paint, and that's it. And he says, you could take over the Justice League, pants Superman. I was like, that's fun.
Very fun. Nice. But before we move off of Rita.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I really liked the Larry Rita scene. I thought that was sort of the scene I was waiting for, where Larry got to sort of be real and not be such a downer. And their relationship was sort of central to the Doom Patrol. They were always the two that were there, I think, the most. So I really appreciated that. And just a note on Ave Maria, at my funeral, I want you guys to burst into song as well.
No problem.
Just Humpy find dance. The right spot, though. No, I was going to say, here comes the hot stepper, but find the right moment.
I don't know if we can get the right moment.
Burst into song. Anytime there's
Alex, just the fact that you know that means you're the right guy to do it.
Yeah. What else were we talking?
You know, that's just going to end up being me shouting Ave Maria. You know,
Ave Maria. So then we get the whole goodbye scene. Everybody starts separating, and Cliff, surprisingly, is the first one to go. He's going to head to Florida to be with his grandson, which makes a lot of sense. I should have written down who
wrote this.
Yeah, what?
It was hilarious the way they like watched it and then wanted to watch it again and then kind of fell asleep and woke up.
Rita's that.
Very sweet. That whole scene was very sweet. I loved them being on the couch together. I loved everybody snuggling. Again, like, they don't want to leave. They don't want to end. They do ultimately like each other. And that's a nice thing to drive in on right before everybody separates as well. So
it's really nice. And I want you guys to, again, when I die and you're practicing, here come the hot
man,
stepper.
Man, I got to take notes on all this stuff we got to do when you die. This sucks, bro.
After the funeral, when you guys crush the song, I want you to sit down and listen to the first episode of Comic Book Club
together.
Oh, boy. No.
That'll be
hard
fun.
Hard no on that.
Hard pass.
Yeah, audio's probably real bad. The Jaden Cliff Kvasied, I think this was Cliff said this. We may all be fractured, but that doesn't mean we can't be whole.
And then she says, "You're a hole." Oh, I fell out. That was such a great
response. That's a great line. And again, that gets to the core. There's so many different things. I know I'm saying this over and over, but there's so many things that get to the core of the Doom Patrol and the core of the human experience. The fact that, like, we don't need to make ourselves purely just like these incredible human beings that have everything figured out, because that's not how living works. You can be broken, you can have your pain, you can own that, but still you can live a good life at the same time. It's all about just tiny little baby steps moving forward. And that's I kind of think what we got with Jane, if we want to talk about her ending, because she's looking at apartments. She's looking at apartments, she wants to paint. But ultimately, what she decides is to take a step forward in intimacy and go into space with Casey. They have a 500 square foot spaceship. They get a kitten, a space kitten out of somewhere.
Yeah,
and ultimately kiss, which is what Kay has been afraid of all along, is true emotional intimacy with another person. So I thought that was a really, really lovely ending for the character. What did you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, as we all know from seeing Marvel movies, if you get a cat in space, that thing is not a cat. It's something else. So, you know, they're taking care of some kind of wild monster. But it was very adorable, the two of them in space, and kind of, you know, that spaceship was bigger than a lot of apartments I've had in New York City. So, you know, plenty of room in there.
Yeah. Do you think it's the sort of thing where the toilet was right next to the kitchen? I saw one of those in New York, and that was like...
Oh, yeah.
No thanks.
That's the real intimacy you have to be afraid of.
Yeah,
like living in a space like that.
That space ship is going to make or break that relationship. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Space ship.
Nice. Oh yes. Ooh, great spaceship. When Casey walks out, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about her. And it felt like Kay was sort of like, oh yeah, I forgot about my deep connection with this other character that's not around. Always.
It also made me miss Dorothy a little bit. I know they referred to her, but like, that's a character that they should have brought back for the finale. Maybe they couldn't figure out where to put her in everything. But like I was talking about a couple of episodes back, she feels like the person that could have taken over Doom Banner and start something new and fresh and better. But I guess not.
That's a great call. Like seeing her just stepping out at the end before you go to the cliff scene, being like, all right, open for business. And then like nine crazy things happening or something. Or her and Madame Rouge could do that together. I feel like that would have been a nice little coda for her.
Well, why don't we jump over to Madame Rouge's finale then? She has a great conversation with Cyborg. Such an interesting relationship. Like, I don't...
Well, the way that started was amazing. You thought it was all just... a Cyborg by himself, and she throws the sheet off herself because she was drunk and passed out and someone put a sheet over. I thought that was hysterical.
That was very fun. And the whole idea of can you be both good and evil, which again gets to who she is, and Vic saying, I will essentially keep you in check if you go too far. I thought was great. And that last shot, having her go back to the ad farm and completely torch the place.
With a blowtorch,
ending with Michelle Gomez cackling, fire lit on her face. Great.
I mean, that to me lets you know the show knows what they have. You know what I mean? To have that moment, I was like, yes, you get it. You understand what we want. And it was such a... just a perfect moment to have with such a great character. It was so cool the way they all turned around and were like, what the fuck? And then she's just smiling. Oh, just so much fun. I mean, I think that's a perfect example of maybe her going too far, because I was like, ooh, Cyborg's not going to like that.
I agree. It was to have a conversation like, can I be good and evil? And then she goes and murders a ton of people. I thought it was like, okay, really.
She's
swinging
like,
all right,
Cyborg,
one way.
Come and get me. Yeah, like, holy shit.
Strong choices, but that was fun. And I don't want to move past something that happens right before that. we get to see lots of shots of the house. Something and say goodbye room by room. Something that we also saw on the series finale of Riverdale, which I think is an interesting pattern.
No, that totally shocked me.
Alex got
no, because the entire time I was thinking, I was like, this is weirdly like Riverdale with that montage showing the places, everybody dying essentially at the end or going to the afterlife. It's like, all right, there we go.
I guess that's just what we're doing now.
That's finales, baby.
Yeah, but it's funny to have to say goodbye to rooms in shows.
Yeah. Boom, boom.
I appreciate it.
Boom, boom. Say goodbye to the Doom Room.
There's a bunch of Doom Rooms.
We should talk about Larry, because that was the one, that was the wildest ending, I think, to me, where particularly like we were talking about Larry being like, we've done terrible jobs and we're terrible for each other. We should all separate. And then him almost having this manic catharsis where he immediately is like, realizes the thing that everybody has known for four seasons. Oh, wait, I need to integrate with my negative spirit to protect me. He immediately realizes that, flies to the bottom of the sea, gets Rama, takes him to space, is like, it's cool, takes off his bandages, they kiss, and then they both turn into a sun, I assume. It was a lot of stuff very quickly, is my point.
It was, especially in a character that's been basically in stasis and sort of trapped in his bad vibes for four seasons. To have him be, have like radical transformation was a bit intense, but I did like it all. Though him flying, it's sort of swim flying and then flying, I was like, oh, look at this dude, he's badass. But the only thing I was like, wait, so now Keeg, whose whole thing was like, he should live on his own, you're affecting him, he's a son now? He doesn't get to go do stuff?
Yeah. That was weird to me, too.
He's a baby son.
Like, with the previous negative spirit, it would make sense if they integrated. This was like, take your child and keep them in your body forever, which is strange. Yeah. It's a strange.
You guys don't agree with that philosophy as parents? You're like, no?
I keep trying to take my son and shove him back into my mouth, Titan style, but it doesn't work.
Sorry, real quick, back into your mouth? What are you saying?
I don't need to clarify this stuff.
Okay. Just felt like you want to say back to the future.
Who are you, a lawyer? Get off my back. Case closed.
No, I'm your dentist, and you got to keep that kid out of there.
Keep shipping me tooths.
But also, where was that son? He didn't fly that far into space. Is that just like another son fucking shit up?
No, he became a son, because he said that the last episode. He was like, I'm going to have to turn into a son. What does that mean? And then he turned into a son.
Well, where's that son?
Yeah, you can't just be a son.
Oh, they destroyed
add a son.
Yeah, you can't just add a son to the galaxy.
You can't throw a son
one.
In there.
Yeah, yeah,
you can't.
They just should have like, had somebody referencing the fact that the entire Earth started to boil because of what Larry did.
Yeah.
Because they look like they flew like just above. They didn't fly to the moon.
Right.
And they're throwing a son out there.
Fried. I assume what they actually did is went back to the negative spirits dimension or something like that, and it looked like a sun teasing eventually what's down
sense.
The road.
Okay,
but yeah, at the same time, there were a lot of too many weird questions raised by that ending, I think, rather than closure, even though it was very nicely filmed.
One of the things I liked about Larry and the ending that we got is when him and Rita were talking and Larry kind of breaks down and was like, you were the first person to accept me. You were the one that really made a difference in my life. And I was very moved by that. So like for him to kind of go through all of this, it felt like when he kind of was cleaning out his stuff and doing a horrible job of putting clothes in that locker at the base of his bed there. I mean, it was stuff hanging out. I mean, you can't just shut that on top of clothes. I mean, that's just a horrible move. But the like finding that fabric and then kind of realized getting a plan, I like that. I like the kind of Rita kind of propulsion of him into the next kind of move for him.
Yeah, and that flashback was really cool.
Yeah.
To all of his stuff.
Yes, it was nice, but it was definitely the one where I was like, whoa, that was quick. A lot of stuff happened. Why don't we, speaking of not a lot of stuff happening, let's talk about Cyborg, who is basically, like we were joking about earlier, just teaching a robotics class. I like the core message there, that you don't have to be a superhero and save the world. Instead, just be a teacher, you know, be a teacher. Like
if you can't do teach.
Exactly,
or be a
teach
good
the next generation.
And learn, and, you know.
But at the same time, I don't know how that connects to Cyborg's arc over the course of the four seasons. And I would even argue something that we've talked about incessantly over the course of the show. I don't know if Cyborg made sense for Doom Patrol. Like, they kept trying so hard, and occasionally it really worked. I like the actor. I've had fun watching a lot of the stuff, but it always felt like they got this Cyborg show on the side. And
I think what you're not realizing, Alex, is Cyborg is the perfect answer to the problem that we have in schools right now. Nobody's going to come into school with a gun if fucking Cyborg is there, because he would shoot you first. You know what I mean? So I just, you
that's
know.
A good message.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that one out loud. I guess my big question about Cyborg at the end there is, why does he need to wear a tracksuit over his robot parts, which are essentially clothes anyway?
That's a great point. But maybe he feels naked because it's like extra shiny skin.
Normally he's walking around naked until he goes into the classroom and puts on his tracksuit.
Well, I think as a TA, you can't be showing so many tats. You know what I mean? You want to keep that kind of
It's right there in the name, T&A. So.
Yeah. That's where it came from traditionally.
Right.
Well, and I agree with you. Vic's whole thing in the show has always been a little odd. And then just this season, the thing where he's like, look, you students, you're going to do so much and change the world. And the only thing they do is like build that tiny robot and help him in the future save Doom Patrol. Right.
Yeah.
And,
but that's...
Well, they essentially do it by being like, oh, yeah, the time portal was always there. So yeah. Very similar to the Doom Patrol. They don't do much.
Guys, tiny robots is the future. I don't know why you don't understand that.
Very true. Mm. Anyway, why don't we move on from that and go to the last and biggest thing where we end, which is Cliff. We get so many poignant scenes like we talked about here in Florida. We get, finally, he takes the mitt off and touches Rory, and Rory bites his finger. Very fun. Payoff of that. I thought that was great. We didn't mention, sorry, before we end with that, Rita is in the afterlife. And she gets to be reunited with Malcolm, the guy she fell in love with back in time in the ant farm. I thought that was
fucked up that he had the mask on, though. I thought I was like, yeah, don't play with Rita's emotions. I was like, we don't have to. Hey, remember that? You know,
this weird moment we had?
I thought it was lovely. Give her a lovely, little happy ending in the afterlife. I thought that was nice. But then Cliff, as we mentioned, so he realizes, and I thought, I mean, this is good, but I was glad they did this. They weren't like, yay, I ate Isabel's toenail and now my Parkinson's is cured. He still has Parkinson's, and ultimately that's the thing that takes his life. I'm trying to think how to phrase this without Pete getting mad at me, but I am glad that they did that they didn't forget about that, you know? That they didn't take an easy, magical way out.
Yeah, that was really nice. I also, you know, the buildup of the mitt, I was really worried about the delivery of that, but the fact that they kind of de-escalated instead of it being like this huge, like, I'm taking off the mitt, I think they handled it in such a kind of like non-event way, but it was an event kind of thing. So I felt like that was really well done.
Yeah, and the line that happens a little bit before the last scene, I thought I was coming home to live, but maybe I just came home to die.
Ooh,
I was
that's like, rough. Oof. That's a rough thing to say to somebody, right? Like, hey, I'm here to die. It's like, hey, great, thanks.
I say that every day when I get home from work. Quote unquote,
wow. Oh,
nice. Which is what I'm doing right now in the basement.
And like we talked about, the montage at the end, I thought was absolutely lovely, showing Rory's whole life, doing flashbacks to Cliff's whole life. Just really, really beautifully done. The shot of going back and forth in the car and moving through time that way. Very cool. Very well done. Really well blocked out.
Come on.
Yeah. Well directed. And it really, you know, put a point on the great cycle of life. Like, you're born, you make children, you become a robot, and then you die.
Yep.
Yeah. And then your car, don't forget about the car part.
I did one little moment that I'll call out, which was like the punctuation for the Rory whole life storyline, is him getting to meet his own grandson, and then the grandson holding his finger, the same finger that Cliff has that can touch things. Without, you know, putting too fine a point on it, I thought that was a really nice thematic thing to throw in there.
And let me just say, like, it feels like Rory started out doing pretty well, and then he made some big mistakes, and we don't see what happens. We don't see any, like, did he blow his life up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he turn into his dad?
That's the spinoff.
Or grandpa? Yep.
Rory Patrol.
I did think the Kay and Cliff kind of goodbye where he flicks her off as he drives away was such mm-hmm. a fun, you know, and he's like, fuck you too, Tin Man. Their relationship was great. And the fact that they kind of really put a nice button on it was really nice.
Yeah. Great episode. Great show. Any other final notes before we start to wrap up here?
I just like, they really had time to epilogue these characters when I was watching it and the big plot was resolved and the Rita stuff was happening. I was like, oh, this show's over and there's still a full half of it left. So I was like, oh, they're going to really take the time to see and do all this stuff. So that was very satisfying.
Yeah. Great show. Listen, I just want to say to kind of like wrap up here at the end, I'm just so happy that 4 years ago, the three of us decided to start covering the show, start podcasting the show.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
No outside provocation of any kind.
Our idea.
Why?
Our idea.
Don't throw
And that was great. That was a great idea that the three of us had together.
Together.
So consistently over 4 years, not jamming it into essentially, I want to say 1 year or anything like that. Just really good. We're good guys, you know?
We're good. We are good guys.
And that's, you know what? Message. No consequences. That's what I got to say. If you...
Oh, don't say that!
If you would like to support the show and all the shows...
Here come the hot stepper, Alex. Here come the hot stepper.
How many more can we jam in before the end? I will mention we have a lot of other podcasts you can listen to.
We do?
Have a lot of other recap podcasts. They're all on comicbookclublive.com. But if you want to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Doom Patrol, even though it is over. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen to the show at Comic Book Live on X/Twitter, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok and Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. And now, for the last time, a piece of advice from Pete LePage. Pete, take us out. What is your best piece of advice?
Listen, sometimes people die and you might get pressured to join a superhero team, but just, you know, work on yourself. And then if maybe you want to go to space, you can do that. But be careful of cats. Space cats are the worst.
I'm really going to miss these incredibly relatable pieces of advice. Thank you so much.
And I just want to say, well thought out and clearly planned in advance.
Clearly.
planned. I definitely wasn't in a wide-eyed panic.
Yeah, why? What?
And we should also say shouts to Stray Bullets for
making us do this. Thank you, Stray.
Yes, for real. Thank you. This is great. What an incredible journey. We will check you next time.
Incredible journey.
And just, I know my funeral is getting a little bit busy with events, but could you play this there? This episode?
This podcast?
Yeah. Okay, wow. I was hoping you were going to play MC Hammer.
Play this. Justin farts one full minute. Wow.
Oh, no consequences indeed.
I'm sorry, that's a consequences shitting the bed. It's a very consequences shitting the bed.